Today is the second Sunday after Epiphany, and here are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. And after the 8:30 Mass tomorrow, there'll be the cleaning of the chapel. And in the daily Mass schedule, this Wednesday, the Mass will be 1 hour earlier at 7:30 a.m. So just make a note, if you plan to come to Mass on Wednesday, that'll be at 7:30. And then this Saturday, the 22nd, we will have the catechism classes after the 8:30 Mass. Before we read the Epistle and Gospel, we just want to mention a few of the saints this week. Today is the feast of Saint Marcellinus, and he was a pope and a martyr in the second century. And he was maybe considered one of the last of the popes and martyrs who gave witness to the divinity of Christ and gave his life for Christ. So he was a hero because he stood up against Caesar and his violence and his attacks on the Christians. So that's today. And in some missals at St. Marcellus. But tomorrow, January 17th, St. Anthony, or Antony the Abbot. And you may remember that he was, again, of that era of the late 200s, early 300s, and he was one of the fathers of the desert, anchorite. And he was an abbot who instituted the monastic life that was, after the persecutions were mostly over, that the first men and then later women who wanted to leave the world, separate themselves from what drags people into sin, and would live either as a group or as an individual, isolated, and to live depending totally on Christ in the desert, because it's such a barren place. There's virtually no people there, but also when they have the ability, the strength to do it, they are facing the devil, because it's known, and that's what happened with our Lord. He goes to the desert to do battle with Lucifer and his agents. So that's what these early hermits would do in the desert. The only other saint, well, I'll say there are just two others on these during these days, and this is on the 18th, on Tuesday, is Saint Prisca, virgin and martyr. And we just mentioned because two beautiful points. She was put to death in the first century. So that means she was a contemporary of St. John and maybe some of the other apostles, but she was new disciples of our Lord, most likely. And so she was an eyewitness. But the other thing is that she was just 13 years old when, under the Emperor Claudius, she was put to death because they were forcing her, trying to make her worship false idols, and she would not give in. She would not adore what is profane, what is offensive. She stood her ground as a 13-year-old girl. Of course, you can see that is a grace, a very great grace, to be able to do that as a young person, especially a young girl like that. And that will be all the mention of the saints. Now we'll read the epistle and the gospel. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Brethren, we have gifts differing according to the grace that has been given us, such as prophecy to be used according to the proportion of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhorting, he who gives in simplicity, he who presides with carefulness, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without pretense. Hate what is evil. Hold to what is good. Love one another with fraternal charity, anticipating one another with honor. Be not slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation, persevering in prayer. Share the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of one mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but condescend to the lowly. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. At that time, a marriage took place at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now Jesus, too, was invited to the marriage, and also his disciples. And the wine having run short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "What would thou have me do, woman? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the attendants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now 6 stone water jars were placed there after the Jewish manner of purification, each holding 2 or 3 measures. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them to the brim. And Jesus said to them, "Draw out now and take to the chief steward." And they took it to him. Now when the chief steward had tasted the water after it had become wine, not knowing whence it was, though the attendants who had drawn the water knew, the chief steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at first sets forth the good wine, and when they have drunk freely, then that which is poorer. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." This first of his signs Jesus worked at Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here is the collect for today's Mass. Almighty and everlasting God, who dost govern all things in heaven and earth, mercifully hear the prayers of thy people, and grant us thy peace all the days of our life. And I thought that this would be a fitting opening or theme for this brief talk on the second Sunday after Epiphany, because of the theme of this Mass of prayer, how important it is. Now we have this legendary event of the marriage feast at Cana. And if you recall from previous years, previous priests, especially our Father Superior over the decades, that this event, this marriage feast at Cana, took place on January 6th. So it was a day of the Epiphany, meaning the Magi came and appeared to the Holy Family. But also, as we honored, celebrated a few days ago, is the baptism of our Lord. And so today is the third event that happened on this January 6th, and it's the marriage feast at Cana, and the whole Mass of today emphasizes that. But the whole reason for it is a showing forth or a manifestation of the divinity of Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. That the Son of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, became man, was born on Christmas Day, and then over the several next decades manifested himself secretly for about three decades to the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, but then publicly for about 3 years. That changed the course of history. And so that is the whole point of the Epiphany, the manifestation, the showing forth of the divinity of Christ. So, of course, the Magi is that manifestation is to all the nations of the world, because those men, those wise men, represented political or secular leaders, kings, men of science of their time. But it was to manifest the divinity of Christ to the whole world, to the nations, to the states. And then the baptism was, that manifestation was for just St. John the Baptist. You think, why would Jesus Christ need to be baptized? He didn't. But he, in divine providence, chose to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as a preview, as a foreshadowing of the baptism that we receive and the sanctifying grace that we receive with that sacrament. And so as soon as that baptism of our Lord by St. John the Baptist was completed, then St. John knew that his mission was over. Maybe about 6 months. One of the greatest saints of all time, great preacher, great defender of moral law. He condemned adultery by the king. He stood up for what is right. He did not compromise, and he gave his life because of that. But today we have this liturgically represented marriage feast, and the whole theme, you can see, is centered on the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, along with our Lord and their disciples, were invited to this wedding feast. And back then, Hebrew weddings were very elaborate, and the celebration would go on for preparation for days, weeks, but then the actual celebration would go on for days. So it was a very big event because they had such reverence for the institution of marriage. So in this very, you can say, unusual, unique event, with all the maybe the music and the crowd and people honoring the couple that just was married, the Blessed Mother is standing next to our Lord, and she says quietly, without anyone else hearing, "They have no wine." Shows how much she cares for each one of us, just in that simple act. She didn't tell her son, who she knew was the Son of God, to perform a miracle. She just mentioned the difficulty, the possible embarrassment of this young couple in this situation of running out of wine. And I think we all have been there when we have guests. Something goes wrong and it's embarrassing because we didn't have enough or we forgot something. And as it says, and Jesus said to her, "What wouldst thou have me do, woman?" So he was, and no, as the scripture scholars say, he was almost correcting her. "Why are you bringing this up to me?" He's the Son of God. He knows exactly what's happening. And what is he supposed to do? Because his hour had not yet come to be publicly manifesting his divinity. And as you know, over the upcoming weeks and months and years, he did not perform miracles to get popularity or cure people or preach to have notoriety. It was all to invite and proclaim his mission as our Redeemer. But he was an ordinary person as he appeared. Divine, but having a human nature, he was totally ordinary, so much so that his enemies would attack him, but even his apostles, after years, were not sure that he was the Son of God, which we find hard to believe. So when the Blessed Mother heard this rebuke or comment, she said, "Do whatever he tells you." And so our Lord performs this miracle secretly, except the attendants knew what happened. And so it shows for the first time what the Holy Trinity had in mind for the Mother of God. That she is our mother, she's our intercessor, she's our helper, protector. In the greatest need, never fails. And when this miracle was completed, it was put in the Gospel of St. John. He wrote it because he was there. He saw it happen. But it was meant as a message, as a directive command to honor the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. She is the one sure way for all of us to get to heaven. And so this manifestation was meant for the disciples, for the apostles, because then they realized what had happened. And so it was to increase the faith of the 12 apostles and other disciples. And you know why? Because the way God set up the message of the gospel, And the way grace works is through men. Men and women, especially men in the church. That's the way it was from the time of our Lord to right now in 2022. So when someone feels like, I'm not sure what to do or who to trust or who to believe in, or I have doubts, you put that all aside. Just put it aside, because you have a gift. It's more precious than gold, and that is your faith in the resurrection that cannot be broken as long as you renew that faith. It cannot be attacked and overcome. St. Prisca stood up, so can we. Have complete confidence that we know that we will reach the goal of eternal life, despite all sufferings and setbacks and attacks. So it shows for us and for the billions of people who have lived to turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. In time of need. And as we've done so many times, and that's our duty, to explain the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary to non-Catholics, because they are confused or they've heard lies or propaganda or attacks on the Blessed Virgin Mary. Who would do such a terrible thing? But when we explain it to them, they're moved. They hear stories of the beautiful miracles. That the Blessed Mother performs for those in need, her apparitions. And so, with this Sunday, we have an opportunity to adore the divinity of Jesus Christ once again, because it's manifested in this beautiful story event of this marriage feast. And we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary in her role as co-redemptrix of the human race, mediatrix of all graces. And we follow her example of faith in the divinity of Jesus Christ, her humility, her trustful confidence in the help from God the Father, her Father, God the Son, her Son, and the Holy Spirit, her spouse. So it helps us, inspires us to be, you can say, people of goodwill, sincere, caring for one another, especially for those of the household of faith. And in our final words, we want to say a few words about the priesthood, especially in our circumstances. And that is because it was 3 weeks ago that most of us became very sick. And when a priest who loves his vocation, when he cannot offer Mass, it's cutting his heart out. So for 3 weeks, we were not able to offer Mass. We thought that 10 years ago when we were in the hospital with the pneumonia, that was bad. This is far worse. But the good news is that we are all coming back. We're not 100%, but we're coming back. And I volunteered, even though I'm not 100%, I volunteered to do this Mass because to give the other priests a break. To balance out the duties here. That we're a privilege to perform. Sickness is so ravaging that couldn't even recite the Divine Office. And to be frank, there are days it was so debilitating, all I could do was hold my rosary. I couldn't even recite it because I was confused with this illness. It gives you brain fog, and it's just so difficult. So I say that because there comes a time when you are faced with obstacles, sufferings like this, that you do what you're supposed to do to get well, but then you can't be slothful. You have to do your duty when you're able to. And that keeps you going. You're not 100%, but that's what moves you. And I can tell you that it is completely by the grace of God that I can stand here today. And it's an important reminder for all of us, anytime there is sickness or whatever, that you don't waste the suffering. Our Lord didn't, Blessed Mother didn't, when our Lord was on the cross and the Blessed Mother was standing there. That was the moment, those moments, to sanctify the world, to save souls, to make up for the sins of others, to make up for our own sins. And you know what it does? It says, you say to yourself, this is a life-changing moment. Perfection is the key. So we want to thank you for your huge amount of support, prayers, masses. I want to thank the sisters who are unbelievable support in so many ways to help us get through this. So we're grateful and we thank you. And keep it up, please, because we're just continuing on. So those are the words, comments, and maybe an inspiration or two for you on this second Sunday after Epiphany. May God bless you.